Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions of mine. But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name.
Aren't you glad he knows every step we take? Amen. He's our guide, our provider, our all that we have need of, he is. And this year and the year to come.
Amen.
Don't you love him? It's an honor to be here with you always. And as Brother Doug said, we are family.
Amen.
Our DNA does match. Amen. We have the same Father. We just appreciate all that's gathered with us. And as Brother Doug has mentioned, some has been out sick. And we're kind of dealing with the same thing back home. And we know God's our healer. Amen. And all that we have need of, and he is that. Amen. And, amen. Just good to be here with you. Amen. Just wanted to greet you. Glad to have my wife and my daughter with us tonight. And, just to come over and just not too far for us. I'm sure some drove further and may even be some on the road. I don't know. But amen. God knows. It's amen. So we just let you be seated tonight. We was requested to sing, drinking from my saucer. Amen. So I pray that. Amen. I pray that we can do that before the service is over today. Amen. Amen. Never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much. Never happened anyhow. As I go along my journey, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my soul. My cup is overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches. Sometimes you go in trouble, but I got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. Thank God for all his blessings on me and the mercy he's in store. I'll keep drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Oh sure, I've been through some storms. Times, well, with my faith, it must have got a little thin. But you know what it seemed like? That all at once, those old dark clouds broke, and that old sun started shining again. So, Lord, help me not to crumble.
be too busy to help another man his own. And I'll keep drinking from my thoughts, 'cause my cup is overflowing. And I'll keep drinking. My cup is overflowing. Oh, my cup is overflowing.
You have your song up here? Amen. Brother Doug, I got time for another one? Amen. Amen. Just, amen. I like that. I was telling Brother Doug in the office, in the back, my uncle told me years ago. Some of you might know Brother Frank McComas. He said, what a watch means to a preacher is nothing. So anyway, but just had this thinking about this song today. And how many's went through some storms this year? I'm sure you have. And, none of us are exempt from that. And he didn't promise it'd be easy. But he did promise he'd be with us. And that's what I'm holding on to this evening. And we'll try to sing this song. It's called No Stranger to the Valley. Amen. I am again. This place looks so familiar to me. I remember this feeling and the tears, how they brought me to my knees. The hopelessness I feel right now will only last a while. I know the land of blessings lies just beyond the trial. Lord, I feel your presence so much stronger today. Here in this valley, I know you're testing my faith. If it makes me more like you, this is where I long to be. I've been here before. I'm no stranger to valley. I will smile again. Tears will dry and I'll look back to see. The reason for the journey, when I'm standing high upon the mountain peak, when I reach the other side, I'll clearly understand. I made it through each valley 'cause I held on to your hand. Lord, I feel your much stronger today. Here in this valley, I know you're testing my faith. If it makes me more like you, this is where I long to be. I've been here before. I'm no stranger to the valley. If it makes me more like you, this is where I long to be. I've been here before. You see that I'm no stranger to the valley. stranger to the valley. Now, I heard years ago, I heard a lady talking about those mountains we climbing, Brother Doug, and she said, if that mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it. Well, those you deer hunters and elk hunters and whatever other hunter it is, and if you climbed a few mountains this year, and it wasn't easy, was it? Especially after all the Christmas food we eat. The mountains we climb, and God's given us strength that we can do that and to continue climbing those mountains. Amen. And I believe we are called in this hour to be mountain, not only mountain climbers, but if you can't climb it, just pray God move it. Amen. Amen. How many's looking for what the Lord has for you tonight? Amen. Can we stand for the reading of the word this evening? Amen. Our first scripture is going to be read from the 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we want to begin reading. Let's just begin reading at the 5th verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. You can be seated tonight. And what a encouraging scripture tonight that we are all going through, as we said, trials and tests. And as the Bible said, that every son and daughter of God must be tried. Right. And this is an hour of testing. You say amen. And this has been a year of testing. Amen. And some of us have went through more harder trials than maybe someone else. But yet God is our victor. And either way, and no matter what it is, we're looking at the finish line this evening, and we all believe that God has promised us something, and he's promised us a rapture. Amen. Yet he's promised us that rapture, but he didn't tell us all the trials and disappointments and all the heartaches and all the loss we suffer, rejection, and he didn't tell us nothing about any of those things. But all he told us, Brother Andrew, that to get ready for a rapture. Amen. And the Bible tells us that his wife hath made herself ready. Amen. And we are going to be faced with many a challenges as we have in this past year. And because of God's grace, we're still pressing on. Amen. And as God's grace continues this next year, we will continue to press on. Amen. And if we could title our thought this evening, I want to speak on overcoming challenges. Amen. Overcoming challenges. And this is the hour of the overcomer. Amen. The last age, the final age, and the eagle anointing has been released in this day. Amen. To a bride. Can you say amen? Amen. As I said, eagles. Amen. And eagle will understand. Amen. So we are troubled, as the scripture said, as Paul said in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, he said, and yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Amen. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Amen. Amen. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. Let that be our testimony tonight, amen, is we're not here to see who is the greatest martyr of the hour, but we all know that we've went through tests and trials, and we're here tonight to give testimony to God that he is a deliverer. Amen. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we're going to continue to seek him. Amen. And that as the rewards come to those, as we said, that would continue to seek God, even in our trials and testings. We still seek God. Even in our hard times, we still seek him. And you say, amen. That's the time when you should be seeking. Not when it's easy. Amen. That's all good. But when the tests and trials come, and as Paul said, in every situation, he was content. He gloried in his infirmities. Amen. And yet we know that as every one of us, all through the Bible, we're faced with great challenges and difficulties. And as the Bible said that they were, these were men and women like us. As the Bible said in James, they suffered like passions as we do. Amen. They were human. They wasn't no superheroes. And yet we can look at them as heroes of faith. But I believe that the brothers and sisters, although the Bible, we believe the scripture, we love to read about these stories of faith. But what about our stories of faith? What have we seen God do by our faith? Now we realize it's not our faith, but it's God's faith through us. That we allow to operate in such a capacity that anything's possible. How many believes that we could be in a service like that tonight? That there would be such a presence overwhelm this congregation that God could do anything. I said anything. The scripture said all things are possible to them that believe. Don't look at the circumstance. You'll never get well. Don't look to the sickness. You'll never get over it. Whatever it is, don't look to that. But our prophet told us different places, we must rule the circumstance. Not the circumstance rule you. When he brings a challenge to you, he already knew that you were going to be able to conquer that. And the good part about it, he's got enough confidence in you that if you don't pass it the first time, you're going to go through it again. Well, that's real encouraging, isn't it? But see, he loves you enough. And he's got that much confidence in you. He knows you will pass that test. Oh my, don't you love him tonight? Now Paul said over and also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Now we see here very familiar scriptures. Paul said here, speaking about, before in the scripture, he's speaking to God about his infirmities, his blindness. And the scripture said in verse 9, and as God said, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect, how? In weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Does everybody's Bible read that? I mean, there had to be something wrong with Paul up here. I'm going to tell you what was wrong with Paul. He lost his mind to gain the mind of Christ. That's what happened to Paul. He said, I glory in my infirmities because when I'm weak, I'm strong. Because it's no longer Paul's ability. It's no longer your ability. When you've surrendered it all to God, when you've exhausted everything, when the challenge comes your way, the only way to overcome it is to walk through it. Can you say amen? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He said, I have overcome the world. Amen. The overcomer lives in you. Can you say amen? The mountain mover lives in you. Paul said, therefore, in verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Amen. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Oh, don't you love him? Amen. Now as we read over in Romans, we'll just look there as the scripture said in Romans 8. I know this is maybe a few scriptures for us tonight, but we love to read. As I heard a brother say one time, brother said one time, I always stuck with me what he said. He said, I like to read Elijah's quote book. Amen. You can't get any straighter than that when it's the word of God. Amen. Romans 8:28, a very familiar scripture to us. And we know that all things work together for good to who? Them that love God. To them that are who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You tell me of another force that is unstoppable. There ain't another force given on this world that can stop the move of God. I don't care how many, if there's 200,000 demons loosed out of Euphrates, will not stop the divine promise of God. God put it in His word and it will come to pass. Can you say amen? And I believe as we look to these things tonight, as we as believers, as we overcome challenges, amen. How are we going to do it? Christ through me. Amen. Amen. And I was thinking about as we look to our scripture tonight also in Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. As I always like to look to this scripture because it's talking about faith. Amen. Faith. How are you going to overcome something without faith? Tell me how. You can't do it in your own ability. Amen. So we look at faith as we look in Hebrews 11. And I'm just going to read a little part of it here tonight. But Hebrews 11, and let's begin reading at the 32nd verse. And it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time shall fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms." And the word subdue here means bring under control. Overcome. They subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Wax valiant in fight, turn to fight. The flight, the armies of the aliens. And the word aliens there means enemies. Yeah. Amen. There's not an enemy that can come against God and ever win. Right. You show me a Bible verse where the enemy ever won. No. Can you say amen? You show me a battle that you've given to God that the enemy ever won. Right. He will not win. Amen. And as we continue, even the Bible is verse 35. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Boy, you're talking about challenges, man. Huh? And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, they received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, they without us should not be made perfect. All these that we referred to throughout Hebrews 11, they conquered giants. Can you say amen? Walls fell. Samson slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. The walls of Jericho fell at the obedience that Joshua followed the command of God. He was given a challenge and he accepted. David stood at the giant of Goliath. He was given a challenge and he accepted. Every challenge that was given to a son of God, they took the challenge. Because they knew there was a God that could deliver. Can you say amen?
When those Hebrew children stepped in that fiery furnace, they knew there was a God that could deliver. When that king looked in there, he said, how many did we throw in there, O king? There was three threw in there. Well, I see the fourth one. And he looks like the Son of God. And the prophet of God said when they come out of that fiery furnace, there wasn't a smell of smoke on their clothes. If you say, man, now you've been around a campfire, you can't get very close to a campfire and not smell like smoke. Or the hair on your head sends or on your arm somewhere. But not even the smell of smoke was on their clothes, and it killed the men that threw them in there. They accepted the challenge. Because they knew that their God was a deliverer, because that's what they've been testifying. Are you afraid to testify your God's a deliverer? Well, I don't want to say it too loud. The devil might hear me. Well, let him hear it. Let him hear. He's a liar. Come on, the truth's not in him. He's already defeated. Do you realize you're fighting a defeated foe tonight? He's already defeated. How? If we read Revelation, how are you going to overcome the enemy? It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Church, there's power in your words. There's power in what you say. That the power you can speak and move mountains. That's what the scripture said. If you say to this mountain, be moved and not doubt in your heart. He said that mountain will move. Come on. How many is going to accept that challenge tonight? You've got a mountain in your way and you're tired of climbing over it or around it, or you can't get through it. It's time you start speaking to that mountain that it be moved. God's given you the authority tonight as sons and daughters of God. It's time we accept the challenge. Come on, we're talking about an hour of overcoming tonight. We ought to be tired of letting the devil steal our joy, steal our victory, and steal our revival away. He's a joy robber. And I'm going to have to throw this in. This won't be no extra charge. I was preaching Sunday to the congregation, and I was reading out of Titus 2, talking about adorning the gospel of God. I began to look back at some things that we all know who Charles Spurgeon is. I was reading something he said, and it was, Brother Doug, I found it to be very profound. I kind of put it in my own words, what he'd said, but he said it all, but not in this actual words. He said, to not preach Christ in his fullness, you are a thief. You are robbing the people of God. To not preach Christ in his fullness. He was a good man, but he's more than that. He wasn't just my friend. He's more than that. Church, you've got to know him. You can't just say, oh yeah, I know Jesus. You got to know who he is. Amen. And that's where the challenge comes. Amen. When you really have to know who Jesus is, through your trials and through your tests, do you have a religion that'll keep you? Prophet of God said when they asked him that, Brother Bram, how did you keep your religion through all those things? He said, I didn't. It kept me. Why? He knew God as a reality. That he wasn't just a genie in a bottle that he could rub anytime he needed something, he'd come out. But he was a God. A real God. Can you say amen? I pray you know him tonight as that real God. And we know through several passages of scripture we read through the Bible that it tells us to be of good courage. Be thou very courageous. Amen. Church is not for the faint of heart. Amen. It's not for the lukewarm, relaxed. Amen. I want to see. I believe if you want to draw attention, set yourself on fire. Huh? I don't want you to literally go out and do that. I believe that's what Dwight Moody said. He said, you want to draw attention, set yourself on fire. We're talking about the Holy Ghost fire. And you know what it'll do? It'll draw attention. Somebody will see that there's something different about you. And to several, as we said, be courageous. I believe we're in a bright age. We all believe that. We're a step above this Laodicea. Now we see, as we said, in the bright age, but it doesn't I want to say this to you. It doesn't exempt you from battles, church. It actually makes you a bigger target. As I was telling Brother Doug in the office, and about a week or so ago, I've been testifying to a young man I hired to work under me in operations and in my job, and about 27 years old, and he is real hungry for the word. And man, I'd just drop a nugget in him and see how he'd digest it. And he'd come back tomorrow, and he'd already been studying and reading the Bible, and he'd come back and he won't talk about it some more because he was hungry. But I kept giving him something else. And I wouldn't give him a whole lot, just enough to kind of chew on. He'd go home and we'd start talking about, we went to, throughout the scripture on water baptism, the Godhead and all these other things. And now his family was raised Nazarene. And I began to witness to this young man, and I didn't really know anything about his background, Brother Doug. I was just saying what God led me to say. And I began to talk to him, and he asked me, he said, my grandpa was... He was a great impact in my life as a Christian man. He's 80 years old, and I really want him to baptize me. I said, that would be a good crowning of him, his last part of his ministry, to be 80, be able to baptize his grandson. And he texted me a couple days after, and he said, well, I started talking to my grandpa about getting baptized. He said, don't wait. You don't need to wait. If you can't get up here to Idaho where I live, don't wait. So, well, he reaches out to me. He said, if I wanted anybody else to baptize me but my grandpa, it'd be you. Because of what God has used you for to show me in the Word of God. Amen. And I thought, I'd be honored to. Amen. Amen. But just see what is that? It's not nothing to do with me. But it's Christ. And the Bible said, you lift me up. And I'll draw all men to me. Amen. See, your job is just to lift him up. It's just in your life, in your testimony, and all that you do. And yes, it's a great challenge in this hour to do it because you're going to suffer a lot of rejection. As ministers sitting here tonight, we know about rejection. But that don't stop you. A good salesman, that ain't going to stop him. Hey, if you go to a car lot, you turn down the first salesman, there's going to be another one right on your tail, man. And after that one, there's going to be another one. And they're going to take you all different directions. But they're not going to give up on you as long as you're on their property. Are you with me? And if we could be that zealous in the house for the Word of God, to be able to try to contact somebody's soul, Lord, help us to be that zealous tonight. Amen. So the rapture is promised. We're all looking for it. You know, I was thinking in the office, Brother Bram talking about in the message, the masterpiece, and talking about Michelangelo when he built that great statue. And I was looking on Brother Doug's office on his desk there. He had a statue of Moses, which wasn't the one that Michelangelo sculptured. It was the one him holding the Ten Commandments. But thinking of Moses, he said it took him 44 years to design what he had in his mind, that image. He started at an age of 38. When he started. So he was 82 when he finished. Now you think that was quite a challenge. A lot of ridicule. A lot of mockery. A lot of laboring hours. Toiling all night. Restless nights. No sleep. Because he had an image in his mind he was trying to portray. And there wasn't nothing stopping him. There was a drive in him. Are you listening? There was a drive in him because he had an image up here. He wanted to materialize it. And all the labor that he put into it and all the challenge that he had against it, nothing stopped him. He kept driving and driving and driving until he got out the final tools I don't have a beard, but he started taking he got done with the big tools, Brother Doug. He put the big tools up. He broke all the big pieces off. And when he got done, he shaped out his beard and his hair and his clothes and all these things. And he got down to the bottom and he was almost done. And he got so inspired, the prophet of God said he smote it on the knee and said, speak. Because it looked so real. The image became real. And he worked on it for 44 years. God's been working on a masterpiece for over 2,000 years. Amen. Amen. And I believe it's time for that masterpiece to start speaking. Amen. That the challenge has been given and the bride has accepted her challenge. Amen. She's rising to victory in 2025. You say, Brother Freddie, you're getting ahead of yourself. Oh no, we're coming into it. It'll be here before you know it. Look how fast time is rapidly going by. Look at the prophecies and things that's happening all across the world. What is it? All the parts, pieces of the puzzle are getting put into where they need to be. And every one of you are a part of that puzzle. Can you say amen? Once God gets his puzzle in place, the rapture is going to take place. Amen. Are you with me? But look at all the challenges. I thought of, even in his health. You know, some of you might not have maybe read into this, but he was 38 when he started. He had high functioning autism. He suffered abuse at home. As a child, he suffered cruciously with gout, kidney stones, all kinds of physical ailments, but it didn't stop him. And church, this was something natural. Well, what reward was he going to get out of it? But what about us? What reward are we going to get? There's a crown awaiting. Can you say amen? There's a robe. Brother Doug, it's custom made just to fit you. It won't fit nobody else. There's a crown just for you. And here we're ushering in 2025. How many's ever flown on an airplane? Probably all of us, huh? Most of us. Well, you're given a ticket and they give you a seat where to sit. Right? In most cases. And if you can't find your seat, there's someone there to usher you to where you're supposed to sit. Amen. You know, the prophet even said that when you come to the house of God, you don't know, but there's an angel that ushers you where you sit. Huh? But I say this to you tonight, now we're ushering in to a new year. And I want there to be an angel to usher me through. Can you say amen? I want him to go before me. And I want him to go after me. Can you say amen? Because the Bible said there's angels encamped about those in fear. Amen. All of us made it here safe. It was an angel kept you. But to think something drove that man in the natural to make just a natural statue. You know, Brother Branham, as we look all through every church age, Brother Branham talks about through the church ages and the dark ages and the ages of martyrs and all these things. We realize in each age that there was an anointing released through the messenger that God sent. And by that anointing, it would raise up to combat the spirit of Antichrist that was released in each age. There was a challenge given. Satan's a good adversary. Can you say amen? He's a good adversary, but God has sent you with the artillery that you need to overcome. Amen. Every age was given the artillery. Right. In the ox age, the age of martyr, they had the anointing that they could lay their head on the chopping block. Sure. Just cut it off. That was an anointing. The next age may not could do that. But they also was given an anointing. Now up to our age, the present time, he said is the eagle age. She's also been given an anointing. Yes. To be able to overcome Laodicea. Amen. Can you say amen? I'm going to say this to you, church. You're not going to overcome without the Holy Ghost. Right. Whether you're young or whether you're old. We got a sister here that just had a birthday, 99 years young. Right? But I like the psalmist David said, because he said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. But to hold to this promise tonight, church, that we have, I was kind of thinking about what Brother Doug was saying in the beginning of service, maybe kind of humorous, but kind of like an old creaking door or something that needs a little oil. Well, we come to the house of God, we need some oil. Huh? Our joints get stiff because maybe we're not raising our hands enough. Come on, maybe we need to run around the aisle like old David did. Run around the ark a little bit. And get some blood circulating. And allow the Holy Ghost to have preeminence in the church. And see the move of God sweep through the audience. Church, it's a challenge in this day that Satan wants you to be lukewarm and lax. He don't want the Spirit of God to move among you. You know why? Because it brings miracles. It transforms people. Come on. It brings the lost to salvation. He don't want that. But I believe it's time that if there was ever an essential oil, I might get some sisters flack on this one. If there was ever an essential oil that we need, it's the Holy Ghost. That is the essential oil that God requires that you to have. You want an oil that can overcome any challenge? Get that oil. The Holy Ghost will defeat the Satan anytime, anywhere, any place. He cannot defeat the Holy Ghost. And if Christ is in you, the Holy Ghost is in you, Satan is sealed out. Christ is sealed in. Can you say amen? I say, be of good courage. Be thou courageous. God placed a great challenge in our age, hadn't he? I say to you, don't get complacent. Amen. Don't let other things become your idols. Come on, there's great challenges. I broke it down at our church here a while back about, I know Brother Doug has too, about social media, the dangers of it. Cell phones, the dangers of them. All the websites that young people get on and old people do too. Church, it's a challenge. Satan has given you a challenge to see if you can overcome it. And I say to you, you can't overcome it on your own. But Christ in you can overcome it. Can you say amen? There's not a devil that he can't overcome. But we have to commit it to God. A drunk will never get delivered unless God delivers him. A drug addict will never get delivered unless God delivers him. Come on. You know, it's sad to see in the hour we live that they have lawsuits. People gaming systems are getting sued because their kids are suffering depression, anxiety, and committing suicide, and all these things that they're blaming it on the gaming companies. Maybe it ought to reflect a little bit on the parents. Maybe you ought to monitor what your kids look at. Well, what kind of game they're playing? Come on. If that child don't have the Holy Ghost, you got to be their Holy Ghost until they get it. Amen. Right? Amen. Well, we're talking about the age of overcoming. Amen. Amen. Well, I know that ain't popular. But it's true. As I said to you earlier, I want to preach, as Paul said, the whole counsel of God. Amen. Preach every part of who he is. Church, he's your husband. Don't you want to know all about him? That he give you the authority that you could overcome. Yes. I mean, how many believes that every one of your steps is orchestrated of God? Amen. The Bible said the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God. Or ordered of God. Amen. We may not understand some of our steps. And we may not understand some of our trials. We go there and wonder why. Lord, why us? Well, we've committed our life to you, and we got to go through this kind of heartache. Why? Have we asked this question before? Sure. But we know, as the prophet of God said, it's God's plan and it's God's will. Amen. He knows what he's doing. I do believe that. As God often uses our weaknesses to be exalted. Sometimes we don't enjoy the test. Have you ever just broke down the word testimony? Test-I-moan-y. You may moan while you're going through it. But at the end of it, you look back and see that God was glorified through it. Amen. That it brought you closer. Did it bring you closer to God? Yes. And I say it was to give God the glory. Amen. And I told a brother that one time. He said, man, Brother Frey, I wish you'd pray that devil leave me alone. He said, I ain't going to do that. Because if he's bothering you, he ain't got you. Amen. You say amen. Amen. Sometimes we wish the devil would leave us alone and pick on somebody else. But believe me, we all get our turn. Amen. But you know what? Satan can't do anything to you unless God allows it. And if God allowed it, he's already made a way of escape. But it's all for your good, as we read in the Scripture. All things work together for the good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. It's all his divine will. Can you say amen? You know, we hear Brother Branham talk about Fanny Crosby. She wasn't blind from birth. She received the blindness after she got a little older. But she became blind. But she had a good, real strong voice, a godly voice, a God giver. And Brother Branham said here one time, he said they was trying to get her to sing those songs like, you know, Pentecostal Elvis Presley, he said. Sell her birthrights for a mess of Cadillacs. She come to her and they tried to get her to write worldly songs. She said, I couldn't do it for nothing. And they mocked her and made fun of her. They said, why, you're blind. When you get to heaven, how are you going to know him? She turned around and got inspired. I shall know him. I shall know him. Redeemed by his side I will stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. It's quite an inspiration, huh? And she wrote over 8,000 gospel hymns. Blindness, what a challenge. You wonder, how could she write? It was all in here. Amen. What's going to hold you? Not what's up here. You better have it in here. As David said in the psalm, his word have I hid in my heart, that I would not sin against you. But when the challenge came, when Goliath stood and made his boast, what did Goliath, what did David do? He looked back at past experiences. God already gave me the challenge. I already took the lion. I already took the bear. This ain't nothing. And you guys are all letting this big old giant scare you. Well, he's uncircumcised. He don't even have the Holy Ghost. Well, the only thing I can tell you is, how could you miss a target that big? See, David didn't come out there with no fear. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. And perfect love catcheth out, Brother Branham said, all fear. Amen. So the challenge, Goliath made the challenge, and David accepted. Amen. I'll accept the challenge. Amen. He come out there with that sling, wound it up. The prophet of God in the Bible talks about, he picked up those five smooth stones. J-E-S-U-S. G-R-A-C-E. He shined up them rocks and put them in his little pouch. He had something in his hand that had been proven. He took the lion and he took the bear. Now this day he's going to take this giant. And the Bible said that he ran towards the enemy. He ran towards the enemy while the enemy was making mockery of him. You send a little boy out here to do a man's job, I'll feed him to the fowls of the air. Well, you can have all your armor, Goliath, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. I don't need your armor. I got an armor that'll cover me. I pray that you got that armor tonight. When the enemy comes at you like a flood, the Bible said he'll raise a standard up against the enemy. And Paul said to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. You got to have all the armor on. Not just part of it. He said to cover all the parts of the armor and you'll quench every fiery dart. Amen. It didn't matter what Goliath threw at David, because David already won. He already won it. Brother Doug, it was a fixed fight. God already was in charge. Do you believe that God was in charge? When David stepped out there, he had confidence not maybe in himself or his own ability, but he had confidence in the God that he served. And he told Goliath, and I believe he just gave prophecy. This day I'm going to take your head off. And he run towards him. Now you think about this, you brothers that hunt and shoot. Anytime you shoot an animal, normally it would fall the opposite way. Because the force of the bullet or the arrow would push it the way the bullet travels. The Bible said when he hit him with a rock, he fell forward. Is that right? What happened? You can't scientifically explain that. I'll tell you why it happened. I believe the Bible said that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They witnessed it that Goliath bowed to the God of David.
Amen.
Satan will bring his boast to you. He will. He'll bring the challenge to you. And I say to you tonight, don't make no deals with the devil, because you will lose. But see, if God be for you, who can be against you? I'm not telling you to run around and say, come on, devil, come get me. No, don't be doing that. You just live a godly life. You let Christ live through you. And I can tell you, the enemy will come at you. Because the Bible said he would. But we know he's already lost. Can you say amen? You know, I was thinking of this too as another person that had a great challenge. We've all heard of the great musician, Beethoven. Beethoven was raised in an abusive home. His daddy was an alcoholic. And he beat on him, slapped him around. He forced him to learn the piano. Forced him. And at an early age, Beethoven began to lose his hearing. We all know the story. He played the organ, the piano so well, that's how he raised money to provide for his family. But he was under challenging conditions one after the other. The abuse, the strain, and back then that even a lot of the plates that they eat off of, I was reading a history that they had lead in them. The plates, the cups, and a lot of those things. Well, the lead got into their system. They back then they didn't have the technology they do today, the medical, to be able to treat that kind of thing. So he had all these conditions, and his ears began to lose hearing because they said it all linked back to the lead that was in his body. But you know what? That didn't stop him from writing music. You know why? Because there was a calling in here. And that calling was going to come out regardless. It didn't matter what challenge he had. I was even reading this article. It said there is evidence that Beethoven, when he started losing his hearing, he would have the legs removed off of his piano. And he would have it secluded in a room that when the piano was all the way on the ground, he could hear the vibration and know what key he was in. But see, he closed himself off from everything else. Are you listening? Church, when the challenges of the enemy come, it's time that you start closing yourself off from every negative voice. Every negative vibe that would come against you. And stay focused on what God has purposed in your heart to be. To be that son or daughter of God that He's called you to be in this hour. Amen. You say, Brother Freddie, I can't fight depression. No, you can. But God can. Brother Freddie, I can't overcome this anxiety. God can. Brother Freddie, this cancer, this diabetes, this blood pressure, all these things I can't overcome. You're right, we can. But see, God said in the scripture, He said He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. It's done. It's finished. And what's got to happen, see, what's got to happen today is our bodies have to obey our confession. Back to the power of your words. What are you going to speak? I'm speaking healing. I'm speaking salvation for my kids. I'm speaking deliverance for those in church that need deliverance. Come on. I'm speaking strength for my pastor. I'm speaking strength for the musicians. You know, you start speaking things and watch God do. Church, we're talking about the age of overcoming. The challenges are all around it. It's time that we start being as soldiers of God. We're accepting the challenge. The challenge has been accepted. Lord, I know I can't do it without you. How dare I would even try to do it without you. But the battles, see, the battles are more intensified. So if the battles are more intensified, wouldn't you say that God would give us more of himself? Amen. He's got an inexhaustible supply. Amen. The prophet of God said in this last day, once Christ is sealed in, Satan is sealed out. You're a finished product. Amen. That seal of approval has been put on you. And whatever come against you, it's going to fail. What did the scripture say in Isaiah 54? No weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
Every trial that you face this coming year, you remember that scripture. No weapon formed against me will prosper. It never said it wasn't going to come, but it won't prosper.
Amen.
How many's ever heard of the, well, he's passed away now, but you ever heard of the famous artist by the name of Thomas Kincaid? Well, most of you know him by, he's called the Painter of Light. Did you ever know why, ever wonder why he painted light in all his pictures? See, when he was a child, he was an abusive, his dad was abusive, his parents were abusive. A lot of times they would lock him up in a closet for hours at a time in total darkness. So see, he took that challenge that was against him as an early age, and he became inspired. And every painting that he ever painted, it has lights in it. And they said when people would come by and see, and he would have this display on an easel up here painting a picture, and they said, man, they would just look like an awful mess when he was starting, because it was just grief, black. But he said he had to put layers of black until it come to a layer of light. The light would press out the darkness. Isn't that good? The light pressed out the darkness, and it does. It doesn't matter how pitch black this room could be. I could light a match, and it would not be total darkness no more. Just that little bit of light. And we realize in our age, Satan brought a great challenge upon this age. When the prophet of God said the hand of God drew those church ages on the wall, he said this last age was completely blacked out. Total apostasy. And our prophet, he went over there and he wrote just a little bit of light. That was for us. He foresaw you. You believe that? He foresaw an elected seed that would grab a glimpse of the light of God's word. He saw you. I believe that. But see, we see as a child, as he said, he, I thought of this quote that Thomas Kincaid had, and I wrote it down, and I thought it was very good. He said, you have to expect spiritual warfare whenever you stand for righteousness. Or call attention to basic values. It's just a matter of light battling the darkness. But the light wins every time. You can't throw enough darkness on light to put it out. Isn't that good? I don't care how much darkness comes against it. You cannot put out the light of God's word. When Satan took out a member of God's children, what did God do? He raised up another. He took out that one, God raised up another. And what's going to happen in this age? He's got a many of lights today. Oh my. You know, we just passed a holiday. They celebrate Christmas and all the lights. Oh, sure, the lights are pretty. They are. I'll just be honest with you. And it shows me that there can be light in a dark world. But see, those lights go out. We got a light in here that don't go out. Amen. It's an eternal light that is lit by the gospel of the Holy Ghost. And let this light burn eternally. Inside of us. When the challenges come, let that light burn. See, Satan wants to put that light out, church. He wants to put your light out in your church. Come on. He wants to bring division in the house of God. Sure he does. The prophet of God said it in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, you won't always be this sweet little group. Because Satan's going to come in among you. He's going to either bring one in or he's going to use one of you. He's going to sow some poison. Amen. And yeah, I'm going to say this to you. You know what he said about, and I'm pretty sure, brother, that we probably don't have no gospelers in here. Maybe this is for somebody on the hookup. Amen. But he said what gossip does in the church, it's sulfuric acid. It will kill a church. It'll kill a pastor's influence. It'll kill the move of God. You said, you mean that can stop the move of God? It sure can. Amen. Our attitude that we come to the house of God can keep somebody from getting delivered. See, that's a challenge. We all come here tonight with challenges. So are we going to overcome the challenge? Amen. I want to overcome. Amen. Well, you know, we're about to take communion. But right now we're taking spiritual communion. To see if our lives are what God is required of us. Amen. Churches, there's so many through history that we could look at tonight, and just for time's sake, we can see Thomas Edison. We all know who Thomas Edison was? Well, you got light bulbs up here. They said he made up to 10,000 mistakes before he made the right one. That's a lot of mistakes, isn't it? But see, he didn't give up. He knew there was something there. He just had to get everything in order for it to work. And he figured it out. Amen. You ever heard of Helen Keller? She was a great author. But you know what her challenge was? She couldn't see or hear. But she was one of the greatest authors. That was a challenge. And we're talking about natural challenges. But yet they overcome. Henry Ford. He went bankrupt before they ever invented the first line of manufactured Fords. But he didn't let it stop him. He continued. I mean, we could go on and see. They were persistent. You know what persistence does? It brings results. If you be persistent, God, it'll bring results. Can you say amen? We look at it in the day that we live in, church. It's an hour of pressures. It's an hour of great pressures. Brother Bram said it's a neurotic age. Everybody's crazy. True. Maybe that's not the right word. I think it fits. Well, the prophet of God said any person that don't serve God is insane. They can't be in the right mind. So I'd say the majority of them out there are in that condition. The neurotics. Amen. Pressures. That they don't know how to release the pressure. But I believe God has equipped us for the pressure. Well, what age are we living in, church? We're living in the astronaut age. What does the astronaut have to do? He's not going to get in that astronaut shuttle with what I got on. That's not going to work, his brother Doug. He's got to have the right kind of suit on. Pressurized suit. Because he's going out of this world into a whole different sphere. But he's built for pressure. He's in a shuttle that can withstand the pressure. And now here we are at the final countdown. Going into 2025. And I'm asking you tonight, are you in Christ? That is the shuttle. And he's given you the proper suit to wear. To be able to withstand any pressure that comes against you. And it's the seal of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. To withstand every test. You hear Brother Bam talking about the message of time-testing memorials of God, where he talks about the man that built the bridge. Remember the story? That man laid his whole reputation on that bridge. Amen. He struck it down until they hit something solid. And now we can build on something. What did Christ do for you? He staked his reputation on you. On me. Because he knew we could get the job done. And the prophet of God comes around and says, she is him. The bride will know what he wants done with the word. She's accepted the challenge already. And because Christ is in you, the enemy will be defeated. He has to be. There's no way around it. Can you say amen? He's lost. That ought to be enough to make a message person shout. The enemy's already lost. Now you got to convince yourself that. That the enemy you're battling is already lost. Now what you got to do is keep confessing. I am an overcomer. Say it with me. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. And what's going to happen? Your body will obey your confession. And you will become an overcomer. You will rise up as eagles. To not be weighted down with the cares of this life. But we are in a different atmosphere. Amen. Raising to the heavenlies. Amen. See, we wrestle oftentimes, as I remember the quote that Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, the greatest prison you will live in is self. That's the greatest prison. But yet we see in the hour we live in that God is raising up soldiers. You believe that? I remember the old slogan they used to say, Uncle Sam's looking for a few good men. There was drafts given. Some had to go off in war. Well, guess what? There ain't going to be no draft, but he's already got you enlisted. If you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name was already there. And you didn't have any choice in the matter. I'm sure glad I didn't. The Bible said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Amen. And the Lord, as we said, has equipped us how to overcome. As another fine quote that Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, God does not call the equipped. He equips those whom he has called. Amen. I like that. He equips them he has called. Amen. That's our greatest battle, as we said. We all have a Goliath that we got to overcome. Amen. I think of what Brother Branham speaks about. You know, the prophecy of Danny Henry. We all remember the prophecy? I'll read it to you. Amen. This is from the... It says... Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way. Thou hast walked of your own choosing. Thou hast picked the correct and precise decision. And it is my way. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This is itself, is that which will give and make come to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. Good way to finish up the quote. In the love divine. But see, he chose that way. But he said, it's my way. The way you choose, it's my way. And Lord, I want to choose your way. Lord, I know it's not going to be easy. But I know as long as you're at the helm, that you are my pilot. Can you say amen? That I will not falter. I will not fail. Amen. But we will press on until the rapture. Amen. Amen. Brother Bram said in the message, why is that so many Christians find it so hard to live the Christian life? He said, now I'm based on the basis of free moral agency. To receive it or turn it down. If I want life, I can have it. If I want to refuse it, I'm a free moral agent. I can take the devil then. That's the only two choices you got. You can take life, or you can take the devil. There's only one form of life, and that's through God. And he promised you, amen, even through the challenges. He said, I'll be with you. Do you really believe that scripture? He said he came in three dispensations. The fatherhood over Israel as a pillar of fire above them. He came down in the dispensation of Jesus, God with us, and now in our dispensation,
He said, I'll not only be with you, but I'll be in you. The Holy Ghost dispensation. We're here. We have arrived. Can you say amen? That Christ is in you. You're not your own. Amen. And as we are in this eagle age tonight, amen, we're not earthbound. We look at all the examples through the Scripture. Am I okay, Brother? We look at all the examples through Scripture. I think of how Israel must have felt. They waited 400 years for a deliverer. 400 years. How could they keep the faith? You know, I remember, we all know Brother Manuel Salazar in New Mexico. I'll tell you a little bit of history. I knew Brother Manuel way before he ever really started preaching. My wife's brother-in-law then, he pastored that church. But to go back a little further than that, before my wife's brother-in-law pastored there, back in the 90s, is when I would go down there and preach to him. They went almost 9 years without any pastor. How did they do it? There was something in here. There had to be. Well, what would cause him to congregate and come together? Something that was in them. Can you say amen? I mean, to think 400 years they waited for a deliverer. And sure, I'm sure there was many that lost their faith. Because what happens? What happens in the delay? Oftentimes people lose their faith. I just forget it. They go back out in the world and much worse than what they was before. They just give up. We all know people that's done it. They lose their faith. Amen. But aren't you glad that you got a faith that'll keep you? It's not your faith, it's His faith. And when you get ready to give up, He's not going to let you give up. And when we get tired of holding on, He keeps holding on. Amen. But we look at all through the Scripture. Look what all happened to Job. The prophet of God said, here Satan was. God and Satan had a testimony service about Job. Look at old Job over here. He's a perfect. God said he's a perfect and upright man. Well, that's quite a testimony, isn't it? Well, I tell you what. I've tried to get him. You got a hedge around him. I tell you what I'll do. I'll take that hedge down. You do whatever you want to him. But you can't take his life. Let me tell you, Satan went to work. And he stripped him down till he didn't have anything left. But did Job give up? No. There was a faith driven in him. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust Him. Amen. The challenge come and he accepted. Yes, nothing was going to cause him to falter against God. Abraham, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but he kept giving God praise. Yes, thank you, Lord, for the son. Thank you, Lord, for the Son. Before the Son ever came, he was already thanking God for it. And here David tells us in the Psalm, enter into his courts with grumbling and complaining. That's what some people do. But the Bible said, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me, Lord. Thank you for giving me a job, Lord. Thank you for providing all my needs, Lord. That's what God likes to hear. Amen. The Bible said He inhabits the praises of His people. But Abraham, even through the trials and the testings, he kept testifying. Abraham, it's already been 20 years, son. Where's that son at? Well, it's just going to be a greater miracle than if I have to wait longer. He staggered not at the promise of God. He accepted the challenge. The Shunammite woman was given a son. And here the son fell out dead, the Scripture said, by a sunstroke. And what did she do? She reached out to the prophet of God. She goes to him and the servant goes out to the prophet's servant, comes out and says, go see what this lady wants. Is everything okay? All is well. All is well. And here her son was laying down there dead. But all is well. Sir, church, we're talking about faith.
I'm not talking about a make-believe faith. But I'm talking about true, genuine faith. All is well. And the prophet of God couldn't even believe it himself. He went down there. And sure enough. And the son came back to life. But these were faced with great challenges. Amen. As Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. A son of God was thrown into captivity for 68 years. And you know, church, this was before the Holy Ghost came. And when Daniel needed encouragement. Oh, yeah. Hey, Brother Doug. Oh, no, no. He couldn't make no call. When he needed encouragement, he had to encourage himself. When he needed a song, he had to sing himself. When he needed to pray, he had to pray himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord for 68 years. And he overcome. But you know the great thing about that, church, we can go through all these examples of Scripture and the David, Moses, and all these Shamgar, Jared, Joshua, and all these great heroes of faith. This was before the Holy Ghost even came, and they still got victory. And here we are in the hour that the Holy Ghost has returned to live inside of us. There's no reason why we can't. There's no reason why we can't see miracles. How many wants to see miracles in 2025? Amen. Amen. How many wants to see your loved ones saved? Amen. Sure we do. But most of all, we should be longing for a rapture. Amen. Longing. Amen. The challenges are going to come. Amen. And I say this to you, church. You can quote the message all intellectually. The message is no good unless it lives. It's not going to do you any good unless it lives. And it's got to live in you. Someone without experience is to manifest. How can you manifest a supernatural God if you've never experienced it? You can't. Saul's army didn't understand what David was talking about. See, you have to see it for yourself. David experienced it. He knew when he went out there that the battle was already his. Yes, amen. Say amen. Amen. See, we can't give up, church. If I could say this to you clearly, don't give up. Because God never give up on you. Amen. Amen. He never give up on you. Amen. And I say to you, don't give up on God. Amen. He's a present help in the time of trouble. Amen. And when you're in your test, just remember, church, when you're in your test, the teacher is always quiet. Teacher is always quiet. But he's there. Amen. When David walked through the valley, as the scripture said, our scripture that we all know by heart, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yes. Amen. Amen. Church, I want to say this to you. David wasn't alone. For there to be a shadow, there had to be a light. He said the shadow, there had to be a light. So sometimes when you think you're alone, I'll say this to you. You're not alone. Because he said, I'll be with you. And I'll be in you. To the end of the world. We all get to the place in our walk with God. Sometimes, Brother Doug, it feels like, God, I feel like you've forsaken me. He hasn't forsaken me. No, he's there. He's there. Amen. See, it's not just, Lord, we don't come together just to know the book. We come together to learn more about the author. Amen. We want this word to become flesh. How many wants that? That's what I want, Lord. I don't want to be noted as some big name preacher, Brother Doug. I want you to know that for sure. I'm not no big name preacher. When Brother Doug got a hold of me to come over here and minister for you guys, I was very humbled. You know why? I'm gonna give Brother Doug some flat roses while he's. I believe we ought to give people roses while they're living. Don't wait till they're gone. I preached a sermon at our church just a while back, standing on the shoulders of giants. I look at Brother Doug as a giant. Amen. Not a man of stature. I'm talking about Christ in him. A man that's went through experiences. He's went through trials, loss, heartache. That's what made him the man he is today. That's what makes you. Right? That's what makes us. And I say this to you. This is from my heart. I told my wife, I said, Brother Doug, he knows all these wonderful men of God that could have come. And he called me. I feel humbled. But see, I know God can speak. Whether it's through me, Brother Andrew, or whoever he chooses. It's not the man. That's where people miss it. Well, we're not coming to hear man. But we're coming to see God. Demonstrate himself. A man that can yield himself to the Holy Ghost. You hear Brother Branham talk about Dwight Moody. I love this story because here Dwight Moody, they say the papers wrote an article about him. They said, Dwight Moody, there ain't nobody want to come hear you. I mean, you're ugly. You wheeze when you preach. You make all kinds of funny noises. You got a big old nose. And you know, they brought this article that was in the paper and they let Dwight Moody read it. And he reads the article and he kind of chuckles within himself. He said, that's true. They didn't come to see me, but they come to see God. They saw a real God. Unveiled through a man. Amen. That's what we come to see. Amen. And here we got a prophet in our day that was a man that barely had an eighth grade education. And he told him that God told him that he was going to go around the world. Going in king's palaces. Praying for monarchs and kings. Well, you ain't even got no education. You're right. But that's what he said. Huh? Well, that throws out education, don't it? I'll take revelation any day. Amen. Over education. Amen. All God needs is somebody simple. Just a simple vessel to work through. Somebody that's yielded themselves. That lays aside their own ability because it's not even your ability. When the challenge comes, you can't overcome with your own ability. You can't overcome the challenge with your own ability, church. You would have given up, and I would have given up a long time ago. Serving God. I remember a story, Brother Matt. How many members y'all know Brother Matt Ortega? My church, when I pastored up in Lakeside, I was the first church that opened my door to him to come preach. When he first started, he come up preached, and he was talking about, you know, we all heard the old country song years ago. It was called Rose Colored Glasses. And that's what he was talking about. He said, man, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, it was like I had rose colored glasses on. Everybody looked good. He said, man, the longer I serve God, I found out that everybody don't look good. Everybody ain't what they say they are. And that's true. But that don't change who God is.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Whether those people that you've watched walk the path of God and don't serve God no more, that don't change who God is. Those that quit church and walk away from the message, that don't change who God is. They've denounced the message. That don't change who the message is. The message is Christ. Amen. That was a challenge. God should give you the challenge. And look how many of us have accepted the challenge. We're still pressing on. In the name of Jesus. That's the only way we can. Amen. You won't overcome by your own ability, church. You never will. The scripture said in Philippians 1:6, what does it say? The work that he begun, he'll finish it.
Amen.
He started it, and he's going to finish it.
Amen.
Amen. You love it?
Amen.
Amen. I trust the Lord spoke to your heart tonight.
Amen.
You've been encouraged?
Yes.
You've been energized?
Yes.
Your faith has been charged?
Yes.
And when those challenges come, you know that you can't overcome by yourself. But you know a God that lives in you that can overcome everything.
Amen.
There's not nothing that he can't overcome because he's already done it. The prophet of God said this, and when I'm about to close, he said if he were here himself, even dressed in this suit, he couldn't do no more for you than what he's already done. It's already done. It's finished. It's a finished work. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just love him. Let's just serve him. It's this new year. Let's serve Him with all our hearts.
Yes.
Amen. Let not nothing distract you. Come on. Keep your eyes on the goal, church. The Bible said in Isaiah, "Well, the people without a vision is going to perish." But He's given us a vision. He's given us men of God in this hour, a voice of many waters that are sounding out truths that are keeping the bride energized until He comes. Let's keep feeding on the Word. Amen. What's going to make you be an overcomer? Feeding on the Word. Just keep eating on the Word. Eating on the Word. Amen. Can I have the musicians come, Brother Doug? Is that what you'd want? Okay. Can the musicians make their way up? And amen. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Amen. How many is going to accept those challenges?
Yes.
You know, the prophet of God said the ministers should give the people a challenge.
Yeah.
The Word is challenging. There's going to be obstacles out there, but we can overcome.
Amen.
Not through ourselves, but through Him. We can overcome all things. Amen. Amen. I want to sing that song if we can. Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. He looked beyond my faults and He saw my needs. Aren't you glad He did? And I need Him tonight, church. I can't live without Him. Amen. Amazing grace, He'll always be my song of praise. For He was great, it bought my why He came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Sing it to that church. I share course again soon now, just worship Him now. I shall forever live by Calvary to hear the cross where my Jesus died. Become Him by grace as we ask for the
Doug to come. He became so that I might become him by grace. Yes, Lord. God.